Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney, joined by literally nobody. Cole was supposed to be here, but I texted him, "Are you up and ready?" 10 minutes ago, and he hasn't responded to me. And called him twice, he hasn't responded to me. Texted his wife, she hasn't responded to me. So here we go. Solo podcast with Rodney, and we're going to be talking about Doom Eternal. I've been playing that quite a bit, actually, along with Warzone. I've just been playing a shit ton of Warzone. It's been a good-ass time. We're going to talk about the PS5 details that were released, again, on Wednesday. That's the day of the week that all the shit gets released, the day after the podcast gets released. And we'll also touch on Animal Crossing New Horizons to see what that's all about. And hopefully Cole will join us maybe even midway through the podcast, and we'll pick it up here. We have our live podcast available to everybody who's a Patreon. And Omega's online, but he's not in the actual podcast, live podcast channel. You can also chat with us in our Patreon chat while we're recording as well, and we can directly answer your guys' questions. It's a good-ass time. So, alright. Anyways, Doom Eternal, PS5, Animal Crossing, coming up right now. Alright, visit our website at videogamesnow.ca to find all of our content, including our YouTube videos, social media links, and the gaming news covered on the podcast. After the show, please leave a review on whatever you're listening to us on, to help spread the word about our gaming word of the week this week, which is an old school one. Anyone who's, like, not 10 and above should know what this one is. Wrapped. I'm sure you guys remember this in the schoolyard. Be like, "Hey, have you played... Hey, you Pikachu?" Like, "Yeah, I wrapped it. It's done. So yeah, Wrapped is 100% completed a game, which was not hard to do back in the day, because they weren't that big. There wasn't a lot to do. I actually remember playing Banjo-Kazooie last year. I want to say for the first time, I think I played Banjo-Kazooie, but I didn't, like, own it. I didn't own the game, so I played it fully for the first time. And it did not take a long time to quote-unquote, wrap a level. So yeah, it's a good-ass time to wrap games. But not anymore, it's such a grind. And, anyways, I can't talk without my buddy Cole here. Have you considered becoming a Video Games Now Patreon? As a Patreon, you get access to the podcast episodes one day earlier than everyone else, as well as discount on VGN swag, exclusive stories, and you can listen to the podcast live on Discord as we record it and chat with us, like I said earlier. So speaking of wrapping stuff, I've been getting right into Doom Eternal, which has a good chunk of collectibles on each level, and it is possible to get them all in the first go, so I've been kind of taking my time playing all the levels and trying to get all the collectibles, but it takes me about an hour per level. So these are long levels, and I think what makes them long is because I'm actually going for all these collectibles. So you got toys, you got records, you got cheats you can find, you got, what else? You can find ways to upgrade your suit, your ways to upgrade runes that you have. Like, yeah, there's a ton of collectibles in this. It's great. And the level I just beat last night had 23 different collectibles in it. So that's a lot. And the game actually rewards you with more stuff if you find all the collectibles in the game. Or in the level, rather. So it's challenging you to complete the game. All right, let's check out Doom Eternal. So far, it feels really, really good. I played some of the online, and I played the campaign. Campaign feels so good. It makes you feel like an absolute badass. It's got some bitchin' fucking soundtrack to go with it. It's like some heavy metal while you're fighting, just to make you feel even more badass. It takes a little bit to get used to the controls again, because it's odd, and it's not like a traditional shooter. It's a very heavy running gunner. If you're not running, you're dying, essentially. So, don't do that. So I'm on The Verge right now, on their review, and I'll kind of chime in with my say on it. No one expected the 2016 reboot of Doom to be good, let alone the incredible blast of demon-crunching action it turned out to be. Doom 2016 achieved a wonderful thing. It was very dumb, but also extremely smart. While its story was non-existent and aesthetic was ripped from the walls of the teenage metalhead, the combat was fast-paced, pitch-perfect blend of thoughtful mechanics that never got old. For the sequel, ID Software had the strongest of bases to work from. The studio could have easily done what it did for the original game sequel, Doom 2 Hell on Earth, and essentially just cranked out a bunch of new levels. Instead, Doom Eternal dramatically expanded the scope of Doom, jacking up the action in all directions. The result is a game that is impossibly extra and not always for the better. But in most ways, Doom Eternal is a glorious, hilarious delight. Go away, restart to get the latest update, asshole. Fucking adding audio to my podcast that I don't want. Anyways. Yeah, so the first level... I remember some dudes were playing it, and I think I was reading it on this podcast, actually. These guys were kind of tearing it apart, because they were like, oh, it's not challenging enough, like, the puzzles aren't challenging enough. But it's fun. Like, it's a lot of fun. Even when I'm doing the battles and getting my ass handed to me, I'm having fun. Like, it's, you just feel like a super badass, so, but you have to manage, so for those who haven't played Doom yet, you have to manage four things. You have to manage your ammo, which runs out really, really often. And the way you can replenish that is you have a chainsaw, and it'll charge up one, there's three fuel cells in your chainsaw, and if you're completely out, it'll charge up the first one, but it'll take, you know, a minute or so to charge it up. But you just chainsaw a demon in half, and that's how you get ammo. The next thing you gotta manage, obviously, is your health, and then your armor. So for health, just by killing demons, they drop a little bit of health, but to get the most health, you'll do what's called a glory kill. Bradley was talking about on a previous podcast. So you'll damage them down to the point of, like, critical health, and then they'll start flashing, like, orange and blue, and kind of be in a staggered state, and then you just go up and melee them, and you perform a glory kill. So, like, one demon, you'll literally rip his spine right out of his frickin' body, and... like, they're grueling kills. Like, it's so satisfying to watch, even now. Like, I've done 1,000 of them. Armor, you gotta manage as well. So you'll have, Flame Belch, it's called. So you'll shoot a quick flamethrower at an enemy, and then while they're on fire, they'll drop armor, and then if you kill them, they'll drop the maximum amount armor, so... that's a quick way to top up your shield. And then the last thing, which is new to this game, is called a blood punch. I remember looking at, I was upgrading my health or something, and it's like, when your health's max, health pickup will contribute a blood punch. And I kept thinking, like, what the fuck is blood punch? What is that? Well, let me tell you, it's some badassery, is what it is. So, by performing a glory kill, you're contributing to this blood punch, and after you get 2 glory kills, your blood punch will be available, and it's just this OP fucking punch that just comes in, and, Hannah, finally, who's Cole's wife, just got back to me. Copy, I'll see what I can do. Yeah, alright. Good luck. Anyways, yeah, so it's this OP punch that literally obliterates all the fucking Doom dudes around you. Like, you'll punch somebody, and you'll just see blood splatter everywhere, and everybody around you will have died. It's great, and it breaks through armor too. So if you're facing, like, I don't know if you guys know the pinky enemies. It's like those dinosaur-looking things that charge straight at you, and you have to jump out of the way and shoot their tail. So if that thing charges me and I blood punch it, it like insta kills it. It's freaking so badass. So that's a good thing to have in your back pocket if you're gonna get if you're getting fucked, because it happens in this game where you'll get caught on set dressing or you'll get caught in a corner and you're just getting fucking gang fucked by a bunch of hell doom dudes. I don't know what they're actually called. Demons, I guess. We'll call them demons. So yeah, then if I'm cornered by like four of them and they're just peppering me, I'll just blood punch them and they'll die and I'll get a bunch of health and I'm safe. So yeah, it's a good ass time. Okay, so I'm just gonna continue the article here on The Verge. This frees up Doom Eternal to offer more kinetic, exciting experience as soon as you see the title screen fade out. The level design is far more open, diverse, and vertical than in Doom 2016. The survival is about aerobatics as much as it is headshots. There aren't many first-person shooters that show such a creative approach to moving through space. Doom Eternal is frequently reminiscent of Titanfall 2 in its almost Nintendo-esque lack of restraint when it comes to constructing elaborate, dangerous environments. Sometimes you'll literally see spinning fire bars straight out of Super Mario Bros. Yeah, I said the same thing. I'm like, man, I've been training my whole life for this. But he brings up a good point. The dynamics of your movement are probably what are the best part about this game. So you have a double jump, so you can jump and then jump again in the air. And then you also have a dash attack. Or not attack, just a dash. So you can dash twice in midair. And it takes... It goes quite far. So your mobility in a fight, especially to avoid... If you're surrounded by demons and you're going to get fucked, you can just jump and then dash out of there. And then you're basically out of danger for the time being because you have dashed so far. Not only that... even though you can dash quite far, you still have to manage when you do your double jump and when you do your dashes in order to maximize how far you go. So there's a lot of different platforming elements to this game as well where you have to actually manage that. So that's actually quite interesting about this game. I actually really like it, and I'm having a lot of fun playing this game, not gonna lie. Alright, so I'll get into the multiplayer in a little bit. Yeah, I'm trying not to spoil this game, but... yeah, this game taunts you the whole time. Like, the first bit of the game, you're going after Hell Priests. The first thing of the game is, like, you literally behead a Hell Priest, take his decapitated head to the other Hell Priest and throw it in front of them and go, you guys are next. Like, you just... oh, fuck. Super badass. Sounds like Cole is gonna join us. I'm super excited! See, that's Cole's weak point. You just gotta get his wife on board, and she'll be like, okay, she'll help you out. It's gonna be good. So everyone needs to taunt Cole, for being late to the podcast. Alright, so just continuing on here, we'll keep talking until Cole joins us. And, I'll keep checking Skype to make sure he's gonna actually join us here. This extends to the combat areas, which benefit from the expanded focus on movement. You'll often find yourself, say, swinging from a bar to avoid an energy blast from an enemy before shooting them on the way down and gorily dispatching them with one of their own limbs in the space of a second or two. That such a thing is even possible as the result of Doom Eternal's unique system-driven combat system, which is mostly unchanged from its predecessor. Yeah, I mean, why change it? It worked in the original. It was rock solid. Doom's combat is like the video game equivalent of an expertly cooked Wagyu burger. You can appreciate the incredible artistry and beautiful marbling if you look closely, or you can just chow the hell down. Here's how it all works. You have guns, obviously, and you can use them to kill scary monsters, but if you have do the right amount of damage before sending them back to the underworld, they'll stagger back and glow orange, opening a door for you to perform a gruesome finishing move and restore some health at the same time. Your chainsaw, meanwhile, is a one-button option that can be used to carve enemies apart and gain some more ammo, and the only catch is that you need to find gas to keep the tank full. You also have a flamethrower that can toast enemies and bestow you with armor, but that ability resets on the timer. So, there's one new ability in this game, and that is the Ice Bomb. So, just quickly check it, escape. So, you have a frag grenade, so that comes in handy when you're in a pinch. I think my most used gun, Oh god, that's actually tough, because I actually use all the guns. I use every single one of them. The plasma gun is really good for just kind of mowing down multiple enemies that are, like, weaker enemies, so I can just quickly get some health. I'm using my assault rifle, which is an automatic rifle, but you can get a power... I call it a power-up, but I don't really... I can't remember what it's actually called. So you can upgrade... a mod, that's what it's called. So you can upgrade these mods to have your gun do specific things. So I have precision on there. So by holding left trigger, you can activate the mod, and then by pushing up on the D-pad, you can switch your mods if you have two of them. So the other one on the assault rifle is like a mini missile launcher or some bullshit, which I never use. I only use the precision, because you can actually target the weak points on all these enemies. So like a Mancubus, which is a giant fat fucking demon-looking thing with two giant, like, Samus Aran looking cannons on both arms, and if you get too close, they'll just flamethrower the shit out of you. So you can shoot these off his arms with these precision gun. So you just zoom in, shoot it, and then it takes a second to reload, and then you shoot the other one, and then there goes his flamethrower. So he's a little bit less of a hazard. But when you're fighting four of them, like, fuck, it's tough. It's tough to even shoot off one of those, because you're just getting wrecked from both sides. But, yeah, so I use the AR quite a bit, and then even when it's in assault mode, that three shots will usually let me perform a glory kill on weaker enemies, and then I can get some health. The shotgun I use a lot, the sticky bomb mod I use on it, because that can damage some, there's an arachnotron, I think it's called. It's like a big spider-looking thing with a fucking, or a scorpion-looking thing with its tail is a cannon, so you can shoot a sticky bomb at it and blow it up. Yeah, it gives you a lot of options to actually, like, get rid of all these enemies in different ways. So it's not... It feels fresh every time as you're taking it on. So, Cole's getting ready, eh? Alright. Well, I'll keep talking about Doom, because I don't think Cole's actually played Doom. And then we're going to move on to PS5. But anyways, continuing on here. So, I'll get into the Ice Punch, which is what The Verge is getting into now. Doom Eternal's new additions include an ice bomb that freezes enemies in place and a blood punch attack that breaks through armor. But the basic flow feels more or less the same. Battles will typically see you use most of your abilities in a perpetual whirlwind of resource management, killing enemies in a certain way depending on what they're weak to, which color they're glowing, and what you're running low on at the heat of the moment. At its best, Doom Eternal feels like Guitar Hero. You enter the zone and do what needs to be done with almost without thinking. Yeah, that's true. See, I can't remember where I said this before. With other FPSs, I will often fixate on stuff and forget all the options I have. So, like, for example, on Call of Duty, I will see an enemy who doesn't see me, and then I'll mount my gun and I'll fucking sit there and I'll wait for him to pop out. Whereas... I could be doing something else, such as like flanking him, or rushing him, or using like a flashbang, or using a grenade, or like all these other options are available to me. But I just kind of fixating on something so that I get a kill as soon as he pops out, and then now I'm just disregarding everything else around me and all the other equipment I have. Whereas in Doom, that's not really an option. You basically know you have everything available to you, and then you're like, oh my god, a clump of enemies, I better grenade them. Or I'm running low on ammo, so next guy that jumps out, I'm fucking chainsawing him. It's second nature. It's great. It feels really good when you're in the game, for sure. Going back to The Verge, speaking of guitars, Doom Eternal's soundtrack is pitch perfect. Australian composer Mick Gordon has returned to deliver another original score, which continues to be metal as hell, and perfectly suits the Doom aesthetic. Gordon's work is intense and original, blending industrial sounds with deep bassy grooves that serve as a pulsating backdrop to the demonic action. It's perhaps the most acute example of how well I'd handle the tone and vibe of the new Doom games. Doom has always had cool music, but it would have been the easiest thing in the world to recreate the early game's famous meaty jams with butt rock guitars instead. Instead, Gordon has carved out an iconolastic sound. Okay, that was a tough word that didn't really make sense to me. People will come to identify with Doom just as much as the 90s soundtrack. So like I said before, this soundtrack makes you sound like a fucking badass. Or makes you feel like a badass, rather. So, yeah, it's good-ass time.
Good-ass time.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Who dis?
Hacking new in. New number, who dis? Hacking into the systems, baby. You thought I wasn't here?
Yeah.
I was listening to you this whole time.
All right, then. Super
excited. Meditating.
Exciting.
Waiting.
All right, well, welcome to the podcast, Cole. And we're talking about Doom Eternal, PS5 shit. I want to say PS4 every time I see that. And dog, go away. And Animal Crossing. So I'm hoping you're super knowledgeable about those titles.
Oh, you better believe I am. Done so much research. No, I'm not knowledgeable, but I will be. Don't you worry. I got my textbook open right now.
Cool. Gaming Order of the Week this week was Wrapped.
Wrapped. Is that like when you go to the store and you buy the special edition of something?
No.
They wrap it up for you? No?
No, it's when you went to the schoolyard and you said, have you played Hey You Pikachu? And then someone says, yeah, I wrapped it.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh man, that was
Wrapped it means you're finished?
Means you 100% complete it. Yeah.
Mm.
So.
With a little bow on top?
I'm kind of shocked you haven't heard that. Maybe that was just a PG term.
Yeah, well, I mean, working in film, wrapped means you're all finished something. So, but I was like, there's no way it could mean the same thing. I was like, it has to mean something a little different, but yeah. I should have went with my work instinct, but it betrayed me.
It betrayed me.
And coming up with our own video game terminology, hopefully one day it'll be in circulation. It could be like, oh, I came up with that.
Well, I mean, yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's all about the fame and the fortune.
Yeah, okay, so just going back to the Verge's article here. Doom Eternal's combat is incredible, but I couldn't play it for hours on end, so I appreciate the attempt in breaking things up a bit. So yeah, I agree. Like I said before, it takes about an hour to complete a level. And yeah,
is there checkpoints or saves between the level, or do you have to sit down and dedicate an hour to it, no?
Well, there's checkpoints and saves throughout the level. What I really like about Doom is it'll save before every demon encounter, but you have to beat the entire demon encounter in one go. You can't fucking half-ass it and get a random checkpoint halfway through. Like, you have to beat the whole encounter in one go.
Are demon encounters new to this one, or are they...
No. It's the standard thing of the game. Mm. But, oh, fuck. And there's... So, I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, there's a lot of collectibles in the game.
Yeah.
So, one of them is you have to go through and you have to find... demon trials or demon gates slayer gates, and these, especially in the beginning of the game when you're underpowered, are fucking hard. They're super hard, but you have to beat it all in one go, and it's just amazing.
Can you go back and do it, or is it something you have to do?
No, you can go back and do it, and it actually, I was dying so much on the first slayer gate that it's like, don't be afraid to like leave and come back. I'm like, nah, I'm doing it now, and I fucking ended up beating it, but fuck, it was tough.
Good. That's why I always do that. Just the trial and error. Eventually, you're gonna get it. And every time you go into it, you're like, "This is the time. This is the time I'm gonna." And then you lose. And you're like, "This is the time I'm gonna get it." And then you lose.
Yeah, I kept dying to like getting stuck on set dressing or getting stuck on something stupid. So it wasn't. I wasn't.
Doom guys, like, if there was a couch there, I would just bust through it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Doom's great. Now I'm gonna talk about the multiplayer, which I kind of didn't like, to be honest. Mm. So, the multiplayer is one person plays as the Slayer, and two people play as demons, and they can be whatever high-class demon from the game. So, obviously, the Slayer needs to try to kill the two demon players, and he has the best mobility, etc., etc., compared to the demons, but the demons... I played as the demons, and I actually really hated it. I couldn't stand it. It doesn't give you a tutorial on how to play as each demon, or it doesn't tell you the controls, really. So you have to play, like, five games to, like, figure out how to play as one specific demon, but there's, I think there's seven different demons you can play as. That was super annoying. And I had more fun playing as the Slayer, personally, but the Slayer is at a huge disadvantage because in the main game, you can run out of ammo or get low on health or armor or whatever, and you got to use those arsenals that you have to get all that stuff back. But the demons have an ability where they can loot block you. So if you
For example, if you're completely out of ammo and you have to use your chainsaw to cut up a demon to get some ammo, they can loot block you as soon as you do that, so you can't collect any of the loot, and then it all disappears, and you have no chainsaw gas and you have no ammo, so you're at a huge disadvantage now. So like, that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, any game developers listening out there, don't make modes where players have to be the bad guys and player has to be the good guys, because nobody likes it. Everybody wants to play together, unless it's completely focused on that, like a game like what was that game where one person's the monster and everybody else is the hunter that failed miserably?
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that one? That was like you. Oh, Evolve, that's what it was.
Yeah, I didn't play that.
No, nobody played that. It flopped so hard. But like, nobody likes this game mode. Like, the second I see like, oh, two players have to pick the bad guys and one person gets to be the good guy, like, there's nobody asks for that. Nobody's like, oh, I wish me and my friend could both be a demon and you could kick our asses. You know, it's not a fun game mode. Nobody likes it. And they keep doing it all the time and it always flops.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else you could do multiplayer for Doom, though.
Well, then don't do multiplayer for Doom. It's a single-player game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, then yeah, just leave it the way it is.
Yeah, my internet went out yesterday, mm-hmm. and I'm like, good thing I got Doom. Single-player.
Single-player, baby. Like, I mean, it's okay to have single-player games. Don't shoehorn in a shitty multiplayer, you know? Yeah. But it would kind of be fun to do, like, what's it called? Like, GoldenEye, you know, 1v1v1v1, like the four player
free-for-all. Yeah,
yeah, that would be fun. Just like, keep it simple. I'd be down for that.
Speaking of James Bond, I was actually thinking of a mode just earlier when you were bitching about these modes. There's a mm-hmm. mode I played in James Bond Quantum of Solace, the actual game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where one person's James Bond and everybody else is the bad guy, and mm-hmm. and you as James Bond, you have a bit more health, yep. but you go around and you try to kill all the bad guys as James Bond, and then whoever kills James Bond becomes James Bond.
That's like, yeah, I feel like, see, that's fine, as long as, I don't know, I feel like they keep missing the mark with these, some people being bad guys, one person being the good guy in the map kind of levels.
Yeah, there's a mode in Halo called Juggernaut, which I've only played actually once, but I had a fucking blast playing it.
But Halo is like a multiplayer based game, you know, like it has a bunch of multiplayer modes. It's designed for,
I would disagree. I think it was built for its single player, but the multiplayer took off. So it has two kind of sides to it. Whereas,
okay,
with
I guess that's,
yeah. Whereas with like Call of Duty, they started with the campaign, but the multiplayer took off way more than the campaign did. So when they're making Call of Duty games, they're kind of focusing more on the multiplayer side of it versus the campaign side of it.
I think it's so funny. I would always play the whole campaign before playing multiplayer in Call of Duty. I'd always be like, okay, I'm going to beat the campaign and then I'll play multiplayer.
Yeah.
And everybody would always be like, oh, the campaign sucks so much, and da, 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 and I would always beat it. And on this Call of Duty, the new one, Modern Warfare, I hated the campaign. I played like 5 minutes of the first level, and I was so bored. And this is the one where everybody's like, oh, the campaign's really good, you should play the campaign. It's the first time that I'm flipped the roles.
Really?
Yeah. Because everybody talks about how good the campaign was, and I played it for like 5 seconds, and I was just so... I was so bored. I did not like it.
What made you bored about it? I don't understand.
Well, I played multiplayer first, and like in multiplayer, obviously the people you're fighting against are thinking, you know, strategizing, I guess, enemies that you're fighting against. And then the second I dropped into multiplayer, it was just like there's 200 guys who just kind of like, they run and they stand somewhere. And you know what I mean? Just like that awkward CPU, like, I didn't feel like I was fighting against... I felt like I was in a machine, and I was just, like, two steps in the machine rather than actually playing against something that was organic.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I just played the campaign for a second time and beat it on Veteran, which I've never beat a Call of Duty on Veteran before.
Oh, I've beat every single Call of Duty on Veteran. I think that's what it was, is this Veteran was, like, really hard. Like, I was playing it, and I was just dying a bunch, and I used to be able to take that grind, like, when I was younger, even when I was, like, you know, when I was, like... 15, 16, I could die 100 times in Call of Duty and just get back up and keep going. And I kept dying, and I was like, I'm not into this.
For me, I hated, with a capital fucking H, the campaign on World War II. I couldn't stand it. Because it didn't feel like, it didn't feel fair at all. Like, you would see your squad and another enemy, like, fighting each other fucking 4 feet away from each other and just shooting at each other and missing every single shot, and then you poke your head up from cover and you fucking get domed immediately and you're dead. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I made it to the train level. There's a level where you have to catch this train. You drive this car and you crash the car and you got to get on this train.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I made it. Like, there is no checkpoint from you getting out of your car to fighting through about three cornfields, through a barn, getting onto the train, getting off the train, and then racing a car behind the train. There was no checkpoint to that. And I made it to like almost the end, and I took a wrong turn in the car section, and it started me all the way back at the end of the cornfield, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah,
not anymore.
That happened to me too, and I remember fucking rage quitting at that moment too. But yeah. This campaign doesn't have that. We're totally switching gears to Call of Duty. But yeah, this campaign doesn't have that. It's it feels fair. Like, so it'll give you three options on to where to go. Like, you can even go down the middle or left or right. And if you'll choose one of those. So if you go left, your squad will fill in the negative space. They'll go middle and right, and they'll actually kill all the people in those rooms if you kill all the people in your rooms.
Oh, that's cool. So you can shake it up with the options, but you're also not getting punished for picking the wrong option.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Does Doom do that?
Doom, you're...
I'm just kidding. You don't have any CPUs in Doom.
Well, they're all enemy. They're all dudes. They're all demon dudes. The way they make it difficult in Doom is they'll have a combination of different demons that will fuck you up so hard. So then you have to basically exploit their weaknesses. Like, so for example, the Mancubus is the big fat dude with the fucking Samus-looking arms that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, I actually have a picture of him right in front of me right now.
Yeah, so the Mancubus are super powerful, but they're really slow. And the guy in the picture we're looking at, that's a hell demon. I don't fucking know, but he's super super fast, and he like jumps up in the air and then slams the ground and does like AOE damage. But since he's really really fast, what I'll do in this situation is I'll draw him away from the Mancubus, who still has ranged attacks, and then I'll get him in a corner and I'll use my super shotgun, which will kill him in fucking four shots.
Is it called the super shotgun?
It's called the super shotgun, and it's super bitchin'. Yeah. And then after he's dead, I'll get out my precision AR and I'll shoot off his fucking Samus Aran cannons.
Yeah.
And then he's basically immobilized, and I'll just fucking rocket launcher him until he explodes.
Nice.
Yeah. Fucking savage.
Is Doom a full price game?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is it a full size game? I heard that the first one was a little small. No.
The first one took me about 10 hours to beat. I think there was 10 levels.
Okay.
This one's longer than that. I don't know exactly how long, but I remember one of the developers said that it's definitely longer than the 2016 Doom.
Okay, cool.
So. All right. I think that's it for Doom. Why don't we move over to the PS5 shit that was announced on Wednesday. So, I'm on the PlayStation blog right now. So we know that
they got a picture of Doom at the top of the PlayStation blog. Fitting. Oh,
they do. Yeah, look at that. Segway. We know that fans are excited to find out more about the next generation console, the PlayStation 5, and exactly how it will bring about the future of gaming. Today, we're proud to unveil the more details behind the technical and hardware components that make the PlayStation 5 such an innovative and powerful platform. The ultra-high-speed solid-state drive integrated custom in-and-out system. Custom AMD GPU with ray tracing and highly immersive 3D audio. With these capabilities, the PS5 will allow developers to maximize their creativity, building expansive worlds and new play experiences in the games that they design. Okay, so that the presentation was presented by Mark Kearney, the lead system architect for the PS5. And
Oh, Mark.
Honestly, I kind of don't give a fuck about... Oh, okay, actually, sidebar. So... There's a YouTube channel where someone got hands-on with the Xbox Series.
I saw the thumbtake for that.
Yeah. So I opened the video. I started watching it. He's like, I'm going to show you guys. And he started going through all the fucking shit we already knew, all those technical specifications that no one actually gives a fuck about. They just want to see the console in action.
Yeah.
So what's he do? First game he puts in. Okay, I'm going to show off how powerful the console is with Minecraft. It's like, dude, like, not pissing on Minecraft, but dude, you want to show us how powerful the console is? Why the fuck did you choose the most pixelated fucking game in existence?
Yeah, and it's hard to show how big Minecraft is. It takes a long time. Like, you can make the massive worlds and everything, but, like, it's hard to show that off unless you are in full, what's the word? Why can't I think of the word? When you get to, like, fly around and do whatever you want, like, open full world. Creative mode. Yeah, open world, but, like, you get to, like, fly around at full speed and just get to see how massive it actually is.
Right.
I'm kind of curious to see. I'm going to open up that video just on my own and see how he shows it off. But, yeah, carry on.
Well, as soon as he said, oh, I'm going to show off how powerful the system is with Minecraft, I fucking stopped the video right there. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Why would you not show, like, Dark Souls or another fucking game that has high quality graphics and then do a side by side comparison?
Yeah. Oh man, that's loud. Oh, there we go.
So, anyways, so that was just my little annoyance with it. But yeah, no, you know, sure. No, as soon as the console's actually shown off, everyone's gonna forget all the technical specs. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah, nerds, you guys don't know technical specs. Oh, he's showing Gears of War.
So I did watch the video, and what they talked about was the hard drive. So the hard drive is going to be 825 gigabytes. It's going to have a 5.5 gigabyte per second read bandwidth, which is huge. So your games are going to insta-load, essentially. But they were talking about they still have to test which external hard drives are compatible with the PS5. And if you have an external hard drive, it's going to drastically increase the load times because it's not going to have a 5.5 gigabyte per second read. It'll have like maybe a gigabyte a second.
Interesting.
So, well, if you have USB 3, it might be a gigabyte a second, but it might be less. So yeah, it'll really increase load times.
Crazy. And a lot, I mean a lot of people have external hard drives as well, so
yeah. Well, I have a 2 terabyte one for my Xbox, but funny enough, that actually loads faster than the internal hard drive.
Oh yeah.
Well yeah, because the internal hard drive has a I can't remember what it is, but it's like a USB 2 type connection. It's not a USB connection, but like that's the type of speed. But my external is a USB 3, so it's got a faster transfer rate. So suck on that, Sony. Just kidding. But 825 gigabytes is quite a bit. Like, I think before it was only 500. So you're just going to have to manage your games a bit better. Like, just have the 3 that you play all the time on your console and then just archive the rest.
Yeah, that's something that I struggled with, like, moving from the Xbox 360 age to the Xbox One and now moving on, like, just trying to figure out, even going from buying everything on disc to using Steam or using any of the other game archivers, just trying to figure out how to do that and taking up a bunch of space. Like, I keep having to delete games out of my Steam to make room for different things, and it's definitely a new interesting challenge to face.
Yeah, but the one thing I like about the Switch is if you buy the hard copy, you just put it in and you're playing immediately.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I miss that the most. I really do miss that. Like, I hate coming home. Like, the drive home when you bought a new game when you're a kid was, like, the most stressful thing. Because you're like, I just want to get home and play my fucking game, like, right fucking now.
Yeah, like the GameCube era where you just plug it in and go. But yeah, when you're on Xbox, you're just like, I gotta download it.
Yeah.
Massive update.
But, so that's kind of why I've started going digital now. Is because I can pre-download it and it just won't launch it until the actual launch date.
Mm-hmm. And then you just come home from whatever you're doing and it's ready to go. Yeah. Bada bing, bada boom. Yeah. Unless you're already at home from coronavirus, then you just gotta...
Yeah. But the Xbox auto update is fucking broken. I don't know if it's like this for you, but it will not auto update fucking anything.
No. I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna jump into COD for a little bit and be like, oh, there's a massive update just waiting for me.
Yeah, even though I have auto update turned on in the settings, it just never fucking does it.
Yeah, I have the same experience.
So, well, they're not going to fix it now. The console's going to be dead in fucking 8 months.
Yeah, which is nutty. Yeah. Like, I remember I was waiting to buy my Xbox One because I wanted the Gears 5 edition. So I had to wait an extra, like, X amount of time for that. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's almost like after the launch date of a console, it seems kind of weird. Like, they have, you know, when they're releasing new exclusives for the console itself, years after it's come out, I'm like, what's the point? You're trying to get a new audience in?
Yeah.
Like, it's so, I feel like that would be such a limited amount of people who are like, oh, now that they're finally coming out with the Call of Duty Modern Warfare Xbox One, I can finally buy it. You know?
That, yeah.
I don't get it.
Totally. Heading back to PlayStation's blog here, they wanted to introduce a new capability with the PS5's custom GPU. Additional GPU power will allow for higher resolution in games, but major new features that benefit the visuals of games even further is ray tracing. Ray tracing simulates the way light moves in real life and how it bounces off various surfaces. Games that take advantage of this feature will render objects much more accurately and with heightened realism. Water, glass, light reflection, and characters' hair and so on will look even more realistic. I don't know, they did a pretty freaking good job on the PS4, honestly.
Yeah, and didn't on Fallout, was it Fallout 76 or was it Fallout 4 that they said that they were going to have that dynamic lighting, and then it just straight up didn't work at all?
It straight up didn't dynamic the shit out of anything.
Yeah, I remember there was something, maybe I think we even talked about that on one of the podcasts when that was coming out, where it was just like they were talking about how the dynamic lighting was going to affect everything, and then they showed like pictures of how it just straight up didn't do anything. I wonder if they're actually going to be able to have the technology to pull it off now.
Possibly.
Because, yeah. I mean, I think it's something they've been trying to do, but like, yeah, they just, it's just not there yet, you know? Maybe we're there.
No, it's there. I mean, you can render something like that for film and television, but in this little box, it doesn't have the same power. Especially, like, if you, like, for example, you're going to buy a fucking super powerful PC to do visual effects on. Well,
yeah.
That's going to be $2,000. No, mm-hmm. no one in their right mind is going to spend $2,000 on a console that could fucking do that.
Unless it was a console that was going to be around longer than a year and a half. You know, like, if it was something that it was like, this is the console for the next, you know, 20 years, and they're not going to come out with a new one, then, I mean, even then, I don't think people would. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it can't be temporary. Unfortunately, gaming consoles are very temporary, you know?
No one plays their fucking old consoles. Like, they all have them, but, like, how often do you boot up your, like, GameCube or your, my 64? Like, never.
Yeah. I mean, there's I want to play Donkey Kong 64 again, but there is no good, like, I cannot find it online or anywhere good to rip it or pull it, so that's the only reason I would boot it back up.
Yeah, true. I don't have that. I don't think I have that for 64.
You don't have Donkey Kong 64? Do you know what's amazing? You go down to your local, I don't know, nerd store. There's some good, like, comic book stores that have, like, a ton of N64 games and full-on, like, Super Nintendo and everything, like, right near where we live. So we should go hit it up sometime and just look around at some old school
games. I played Donkey Kong 64 on the Wii U Virtual Console. That's the last place I played it as.
Wait, on what?
The Wii U Virtual Console.
Oh, do they have it on the Wii U Virtual Console?
If you can fucking still buy it there, yeah.
Crazy.
But my brother has my Wii U, so I can't even play it.
I have my Wii U at my parents' house. Maybe I'll go run over there and pick it up.
All right, so the PS5 will allow games to offer a much deeper sense of immersion through 3D audio. Visuals are, of course, imperative to the gaming experience, but we believe audio plays a crucial role as well. Well, fucking yeah.
Hey, man, you can have a game that looks bad and is still fun, but you can't have a game that sounds bad and is still fun.
Yep, totally.
You can have a podcast that looks bad, but...
I mean, yeah, we look bad.
Yeah, that's why we only hear our voices and we make sure that audio is lemony fresh.
Speaking of look bad, so, funny story. Mm-hmm. I asked somebody to draw a caricature for Cole. And I told them we want him to look like a wizard because his gamer tag is Elok the Wizard.
Elok the Wizard.
And they're like, okay, no problem. So a week later, they send me back an update on like the drawing that they've done. And it's literally Cole in a stage magician outfit. And he's like got a top hat and a fucking like magic wand. And like, I'm shocked that a fucking goose wasn't pulled out of your ass or something. Like,
oh yeah. I was like, where's the rabbit in the hat?
Yeah. So that was really funny. And I asked for revisions and I'm like, I think you confused a stage magician for a wizard. And I gave her like, option or like, some screenshots from wizards off Google. I'm shocked that she didn't Google wizard, to be sure.
Yeah. Like,
that's odd.
And, like, I mean, it's kind of a funny... it's a hilarious character. Like, I mean, it's not bad, but I just don't like stage magicians. Like, one thing that does not... I think they're all... I think it takes a lot of sleight of hand and a lot of misdirection, but, like, I could care less for any type of magic act or magician whatsoever. Not interested in it at all.
Yeah, totally.
So it's kind of funny.
Elok the Magician.
Elok the Magician.
But the final thing looks cool, so that'll be
like final one.
Added to our banners and shit on our website.
Yeah, I'm a little bit over the top compared to you, and Will.
Yeah.
But it's good. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's good. And then I'm working on a new intro for our YouTube page. It's going to be sick. But it's going to take a lot of work.
Good. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you to do a lot of work.
Do a lot of work on all this time off we have.
All this time off. Yeah, it seems like it's just going to keep going. Like every day they're like, oh, it'll take a week. Oh, it'll take 2 weeks. Oh, it'll take a month.
Yeah.
Oh, this new 400 deaths in Italy just today.
Wait, sorry. 400 just today?
Yeah, they hit 400 deaths today in Italy.
Oh, I thought you meant 400 died today.
Oh, I don't know. There was something ridiculous about Italy today. And Trudeau, who's our prime minister, was like, please stay at home for the love of God. Stop going outside.
Oh, yeah. Sidebar for the Heineken virus. But, yeah, so they're telling everybody, like, oh, stay home, self-isolate, practice social distancing or whatever. And then here are Vancouverites are fucking at the beach, chilling out. And the guy's like, well, you know, I'm not going to get sick if I touch sand because, like, nobody touches the same spot of sand. That's what he said on the news. And I felt like fucking strangling him right there.
That's ridiculous.
But there's two friends outside hanging out, but they're like 6 feet apart in lawn chairs, just kind of chatting. That was funny. The other fucking degenerates that are doing some shit here is there were some people in Port Moody that have bought out like all the fucking masks and all the like the face masks, all the sanitizer and all the toilet paper that they could, and now they're selling it at Port Moody Park. They're like profiteering off this fucking crisis.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That toilet paper thing is friggin' ridiculous.
So yeah, the mayor's like, we sent bylaw down there. We gave them a huge fine, and like they're looking at charging them criminally because that's not okay. Our premier, who's the equivalent of a senator, I guess, in the States. Yeah, he's like, there's a special place in hell for people like that. He literally said that.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, back to video games on a video games podcast.
Back to video games on a video game podcast.
We wanted to deliver a compelling audio experience for all users, not just those who own high-end speaker systems. So we designed and built a custom engine for 3D audio that is equipped with the power and efficiency for ideal audio rendering. With 3D audio on PS5, the sound you will hear while playing will offer a greater sense of presence and local.
Wait, where are you?
I
wasn't following along.
We'll go down where the specs are. I'm three paragraphs up in the middle.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Locality. Locality. I've never heard that word before.
Presence and locality.
Locality.
Local itty.
Itty, yeah.
Locity.
Locity. Locity! You'll be able to hear raindrops hitting different surfaces all around you. You can hear and precisely locate where your enemies are lurking behind you. That's why I really like my headset that I have, playing COD Warzone. Like, you can hear fucking everything, and you know exactly where they are and when they're coming into the door and everything. So, yeah. All right, so this one caused some confusion. This next paragraph caused some confusion with him. Excuse me, I got the hiccups now. With some PS dudes. Lastly, we're excited to confirm the backwards compatibility features are working well. With recently took a look at the top 100 PS4 titles and ranked them by playtime. As ranked by playtime, and we're expecting almost all of them to be playable at launch on PS5. With more than 4,000 games published on PS4, we will continue to test the process and expand backwards compatibility coverage over time. So what they meant by that, and they've clarified this since, is they have to test every individual PS4 game on the PS5 to ensure that it actually works, because PS4 games aren't guaranteed to actually work with a bit more powerful system. Because they were built for the PS4, right? So they just took the top 100 PS4 games in terms of how long people have actually played the game for, because that's the ones that people are going to pick up the most or play the most on PS5. So that's why they're starting there, yeah. So I'm sure they'll have a list of games that don't work on the PS5 when it comes out, essentially.
I played what was it called? Battle for Middle Earth. It's a strategy game set in the Lord of the Rings universe.
Yep.
And it was one of the best games I ever, I love it. It's so much fun. And I have it for Xbox 360. And when I got my Xbox One, I was like, yes, I'm going to play some Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle Earth. It's like one of the only games that they're like, this game doesn't work. I was so choked. Now it just sits on myself looking at me being like, you got to play me. But I can't. So I hope they do get a lot of games to work backwards compatible.
Yeah, and I kind of was under the impression that it was going to be backwards compatible all the way to the PS1, but
That would be crazy.
That'd be super crazy, but that's probably not happening.
Yeah, because even then, like you said, they're not meant to be played on these crazy systems.
So I don't know enough about the PlayStation because I've never had one, but I'm wondering if you can. If there's a digital version of older games on the PlayStation Store or something.
There is. I'm pretty sure there is. Okay. I have a PlayStation, but I haven't really gone back. I didn't have a PlayStation growing up, so there's not very many nostalgia games that I'm like, oh, I miss playing this for my PS2.
Yeah. I want to play all the big games that everyone... Like, I've never played The Last of Us because I've never had a PlayStation.
Dude, Last of Us is just... Well.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the first game I play on PS5 when I get it.
That was the first game I played on PS4. I'm also a huge sucker for anything post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. There's just something that's so fascinating about not even the collapse of humanity, but it's the reset. It's what humanity leaves behind. I love just the whole cities that the wilderness has started to take over again, and what kind of wildlife comes back or happens from it. It's just so interesting to me. And I think The Last of Us did a really good job of showing that off. So that's why I like it a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on here. So let's go to the poll of the week. So the poll of the leak, last week.
Poll of the leak. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Last week was What's Missing from the Video Games Now podcast. One person commented and said other. So I'm not sure what that means.
It means the whole thing. Switch it up, Rodney. Make it better.
All right. Gotta make it better.
Make it better.
I'll leave this poll open for another week just to get some more feedback. I shared it on our Facebook page, so just click on that link and it'll take you to our website. And you can vote on what are the options? Hang on.
Until you vote on less getting sidetracked, I'm just going to keep derailing the podcast. Yeah.
Hang on. I'm just going to find the options here. So I'll read them off on the air. Okay, so... number one, nothing. The podcast is lit. More guests. Stay on topic more. More personal stories. Bring Will back. I'm shocked this person put other versus bringing Will back.
This person was not a Will fan. There's the hard Will fans and the hard Rodney fans. This one was a Rodney fan.
I'm going to add one more and put bring Mark back. Back. Okay. Fuck, we might have to pay Mark to come back to the podcast.
I wish there was I guess you'd have to pay for it. If there was other, there should be a leave. Why other?
Yeah. Well, they can leave. If you choose other, go back to, go to our Facebook page and let us know what the other means. Please.
Please.
All right. So this one's not going to take too long. This is Animal Crossing. So I've never played Animal Crossing, and that's only because I just have never played Animal Crossing. I don't have anything against it or anything like that. Brittany bought New Leaf when she was trying to, like, fit in with my fucking nerdiness.
Yeah.
and failed because she's like, I don't play games anymore. Like, I was trying to get her to play Yoshi on Switch. I was trying to get her to, play all those kind of, you know, fun Nintendo-y games.
Yeah.
To get her hooked, but she's not fucking biting.
Yeah, Hana's hard to get to bite too. Like, she's very specific in her games, so.
Yeah, well, when Brittany does bite, like, she was biting on Pokemon Go, like, she's in. She's fucking all in.
Oh, yeah, same with Hana. She's playing Pokemon Go like crazy.
What's the other game that Brittany... Clash of Clans. I was into Clash of Clans, and she only downloaded it because I had it, and it was a time killer for her on her phone, right? So, yeah, then she... started playing and she started getting super into it, and now she's still super into it. And then she always asks me random questions occasionally, like, hey, what does this mean?
So try to get her into Animal Crossing.
Well, she liked Animal Crossing, but she got kind of frustrated with certain aspects of the game. I can't remember exactly what those were. It was like I think it was how much money she got per job or something. She's like, this bullshit. So I'm like, okay.
I think, like, especially Nintendo, all of these games are full price games. Like, all of the Nintendo games are just like, you gotta pay an arm and a leg for it. And right now, everything is getting more expensive. I'm much, much, much more picky on what I get.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Animal Crossing is gonna do it for me.
Well, I'm actually gonna make a video this week about that, about why games are getting so expensive and all that. So. Alright, anyway, so Animal Crossing, I'm on Polygon right now. What to do on day one in Animal Crossing? You'll start by picking your campsite location as well as the campsite location of the other two villagers you'll be handed. Pick carefully because you won't be able to change these locations for a while, and even then at some significant expense. Once you've placed everyone's tents, Tom Nook, the big raccoon in the sweater, will give you some simple objectives such as collecting tree branches and fruit, finishing that, and head to the party. Feel free to take a nap after this, which is when the real game will start. Cool, so...
I love quick tutorials. There's nothing that I cannot stand more than long tutorials.
I know.
I like to figure out the game. So
yeah.
That sounds pretty quick.
Like, fuck, we've gotten to the point in this generation where the games have to tell you how to walk. Like, it wasn't fucking obvious.
God, yeah, that and pisses it's funny me that off. We've been playing video games for, like... I've been playing since I was 6 years old. I've been playing video games for 20 years. I know how to do the basic functions of a video game work.
Yeah. Like, please explain your mechanics that are different and specific to the game, but just don't tell me how to fucking walk. That just drives me up the fucking wall.
Yeah, and even if it's story-based, get me to the level base quickly. So that sounds like a pretty decent... Pick up some sticks and some bugs, go to a party, and put your camp down.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Once you wake up, you'll be playing in real time, meaning it'll be nighttime if it's nighttime where you live. Make sure you speak to all the villagers, as you may get some free furniture and recipes for being a friendly neighbor.
Wait. How sophisticated is this day-night system?
It's one-to-one real time.
No way.
Yeah, it was like that in Pokemon. That's how it worked in Pokemon.
Really? Oh, yeah. Crap. That's so funny. I was like, why is it always nighttime? But it's because I always play at night.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I'm playing right now, actually. It's daytime. I'm just getting my Pokemon level up there.
Cool. Nook will give you the recipes for flimsy tools. You'll want to make a flimsy fishing rod and a flimsy bug net. Cool. Oh my god, you gotta pay off mortgages in this game? Jesus.
This sounds real life now.
Yeah.
I can't do it in real life, but I can do it in Animal Crossing.
I thought this was supposed to be New Horizons, like you just do new shit. Like, you just build your fucking house out of wood or something, and then you don't have to pay shit. I don't know.
Sticks and mud. But yeah, you gotta pay off your...
Big goal... So there's a couple of big goals. Big goal one, donate 5 fish or bugs to Tom Nook for study. Big goal two is pay off your mortgage. Jesus. Tom Nook will charge you 5,000 Nook miles, or nearly 50,000 bells, which I guess is the currency, for the pleasure of moving to his island. So Tom Nook just owns fucking the island? What a dick.
That island is on Smash. You can fight on that island in Smash.
Can you beat what's his name? Tom Nook's face in for making you pay 5,000 Nook miles.
Isn't Nook like a kind of a shady boy?
I don't know. Never played Animal Crossing.
Well, I think he is. Yeah. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Nook's Island. Nook's
Island. All right, big goal number three is increase your inventory space and buy the tool ring. Cool. Big goal number four, harvest resources. So that's day number one ship. Anyways, yeah, so that's Animal Crossing. I can't really comment on it, I'm sorry. I haven't played it. I haven't played any Animal Crossing, and I haven't played this new one, obviously. And nor has Cole. So if you guys want to let us know how the game is, jump on our Facebook page and just shoot a comment over to let us know how the game is. And we'd love
to know.
Yeah. I posted on the on our Facebook page, is everybody on lockdown? What are you playing to pass the time? And we've had a couple people comment. Everyone's getting excited because they're finally getting laid off, and they get to do nothing until like a week or two later when they realize that they have no income coming in.
Yeah, it's nice for a week, but in film we get this downtime off because we literally work 20 hours a day. Like I was doing 21 hour days on my show, so you kind of make money to have a month off, but the second that month runs out, then things start to get scary.
Yeah. Okay, so people are playing Animal Crossing. Thomas Huffman's playing Animal Crossing on the Animal Crossing Switch, playing a paradise in this crazy world. See all comments.
Wait. That's another thing too. Is like buying the Animal Crossing Switch. Did he have a Switch before, and he just decided to pick up the Animal Crossing one as well? And what do you do? Just throw out the screen, and you keep the nunchucks or the Joy-Cons?
Joy-Cons? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's like, yeah, that's so weird.
Francis V is playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and he's about 5 months. He's about 5 months late.
5 months in, I thought you were gonna say Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I'm only 50% way through.
I have got to collect every single feather.
Yep.
Every single haystack.
That would be me.
Oh yeah.
100%. Jeremy McBride says he's deep in Animal Crossing.
Gross, but acceptable.
Yep. Brian Johnson is Pokemon Shield.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's what I'm doing, too, Pokemon Shield.
Anil Haroon is playing Outer Worlds.
Oh, I actually downloaded Outer Worlds for Xbox. I kept booting it back up and then never actually starting it. Let me know how good it is.
You bet. And Kevin Arnott is playing Red Dead 2.
Nice. Another one I haven't played. You played Red Dead, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I lost interest.
Aw.
So, that's what it is.
It is what it is.
Anyways, all right, guys, thanks for listening to the episode of the podcast here. Let us know what you think on our Facebook page, and we got a lot more likes on our Facebook page, a lot more people following. I was streaming last week, Call of Duty Warzone, and a guy I used to go to high school with was like, "Bruh, never knew you played video games." I'm like,
"Fuck." You're like, "My life is video games, bruh."
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, jump on our social media, join our Discord, join our community. It's a lot of fun. And
get in on it.
If you've been a part of the community for a long time, consider covering a Patreon. You get to listen to us talk about random shit. So me and Cole are probably going to talk for another 3 minutes just to give the little bonus bit for the Patreons.
I've got some stuff I want to talk to you about. It'll be too much to get into it on the podcast. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, if you want to listen to that, join our Patreon, and you'll get free access to bonus content.
But then you can hear what I'm going to talk to Ronnie about. It's pretty cool, actually. It's going to be some cool stuff.
All right. Anyways. Thanks a lot, guys, and we'll see you all on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.